12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood episode number 14. I am Wes Otis and I am here with some amazing players. Let us start with Michelle.
Hey, I'm Michelle and I am here playing Belle Bellington, who, may be on the verge of a turn.
Hey, everybody. My name is Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I'm playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her.
Hello, 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 everyone. I am Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. Tonight, I am playing Imani DeVoe, who uses she, her.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and I am going to be playing Lenore Von Mori, also known to what friend she has as Cass Richardson, and to the general public is simply the vamp.
Howdy, y'all. I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm playing Roberta Robbie Sirius, they, she.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, this is a great place for a recap. Now, in episode number 13, we actually had a solo game with Sam and Imani. We did a whole thing with that, and I'll kind of touch on that a little bit, but some things happened during that particular episode that I don't want to give away for the rest of the players because suspense is fun. So we're going to actually just briefly recap episode number 12. Basically, what happened was, after Robbie had this discussion with Bassett, they decided to go to the studio and include everybody except for Belle, who was in the hospital at the time. After telling everybody, Lenore was kind of like, but it's all fiction. And then Robbie had a longer discussion with Lenore. They went into the trailer and had a long discussion about what they can do, what should happen next. And then a weird thing happened where the door was thrown open. All the air was sucked out like they were in a plane. They were several hundred feet off the ground, and below them was a huge fight going on across LA. It was something that was so sudden and horrifying that Lenore was convinced that maybe some research needed to be done. So the two of them ended up at the end of the day leaving for Lenore's place to look at her book collection, her occult book collection. And Robbie like passively said, oh, by the way, I'm, babysitting this cat at Penelope's place, and there's a bunch of books over there too. That was where we ended that particular storyline for those two. Then while at the hospital, Belle had a woman come in and she threw a hand on the bed and told her, stay away from Imani, leave us alone, blah, 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 and left. This freaked out Belle pretty badly. So she did what any sane person would do. She called her mobster ex-husband to come in and deal with the situation. He said, you know what? Don't worry about it. I will go talk with Imani. I will handle the situation for you. She then went to the studio. She saw Imani and Evie talking with each other about what Robbie had said about this dreams that she's having, and that Imani was kind of feeling a bit like, I've heard these stories from my grandmother before about people being able to walk in dreams, and they were conversing, and Belle came in and Belle started talking with Evie a bit about the fact that all of this horrible things were happening, and she started to cry because she just didn't know what to do. And Evie kind of softened a little bit, took pity on her because she was obviously being genuine about this feeling of fear that she had. And they left to go to Evie's house. and talk some more. That left Imani at the studio. Imani started doing one of her BDSM shoots at night with Vanessa and the rest of the crew. Everything was going well until Rose started calling, constantly trying to get in touch with Imani. Vivian was like, hey, look, I want to help you out, but you've got to get your personal life in check because we can't have this going on. Imani went home. Waiting there for her once again was a cop just sitting out front of the apartment. And she looked down the way and she saw Rose in the alleyway. They went and had a discussion. I'm not going to go too far into this, but I want to go enough for Sam's sake so they know what's going on. They had a conversation. I think this was towards the end of the episode 12 where Imani was like, look, we're just having sex. That's it. We're not in a relationship. The question following that Rose had was, well, I thought you loved me. And things went kind of downhill. And Rose got very monotone and was like, I understand. If you don't love me, that's fine. I mean, we'll figure it out. Then suddenly Tony showed up at the front door. Rose hid after the cop had left. Rose hid. Tony basically said, look, you need to tell me where the hell Rose is because this is a problem. You know, Imani was like, no, you know, it's not a problem. I'll let you know where she is when I figure that out, blah, blah, blah. Basically shining him on. And then when she turned around, Rose was gone and out of the apartment. And that's where I'm going to leave that for now, because the rest is something that's going to come up later. Now that the recap is done, let's start with Robbie and Cass. So you all show up at Cass's place. It's a decent sized home, like one of those Pasadena craftsman homes, I believe we had said.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think we'd really like established just that it was nice.
It was a nice place. And you show up. Henri is in the living room looking like he's about to head out when the two of you walk in and he goes, oh, hello. We're having company. I didn't know anybody was coming by. Hi, I'm Henri. It's nice to meet you.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Henri. I thought you would have left already. Robbie, this is Robbie.
Robbie.
Hi.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Now, Robbie, you do recognize him because Henri is pretty big star that's been in a lot of stuff. He goes, so looks at Lenore with a kind of side glance of, I'm going to be out pretty late tonight. What are you all going to be doing? Like, kind of vibe. But he doesn't say it like that. He's much more smooth about it.
Yeah, and I think Lenore kind of shakes her head at him a little bit. Kind of like a like code for it's not what you think it is.
Okay. All right. And he goes,
we're going to be reading a lot. Also, I'm a very big fan of your work. I don't know if that was clear by the three words I've said to you. But I did want to say that because I think you're very talented.
Oh, thank you so much. You're very nice. I appreciate that. And I hope you all have fun reading tonight. There is a full bar if you need anything from there. I am on my way out. If you need anything, I'm going to be at the club, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you.
Can I just talk to you for a second, Lenore?
Yeah, Robbie, excuse me, please.
Oh, yes, sure.
So you go out on the front porch and he goes, just so you know, I got rid of the problem that we had earlier this morning.
Yes, the problem.
It's no longer here, so don't worry about it.
Thank you. I am. And trust me, I do want to talk about it. It's just.
Oh, yeah, we don't have to talk about it now. You have a friend over, so I'll see you later tonight, okay?
Okay.
He gives you a kiss on your cheek and heads out. So you go back in. Tell me where your occult books are and what the room looks like and how you envision this.
Lenora does have sort of a reading room set up, and it's where a lot of props and odds and ends from her time hosting and acting are. So it's also one half library, one half sort of museum sitting room where she entertains guests when they come over. There's a lot of just general literature in there, but there is a section of books that definitely looks older and like the bindings on them are like an older make, and it's obvious that these are more legit books about the occult that she's collected over the years.
All right. The two of you sit down, and I think what we'll do is let's do a library use roll, and I'm going to give you advantage on this because it's your library. And you kind of know what's in here. And you're specifically looking for Stefan, the Red Horseman. You get an extra tens place, and you take the one that's better. Robbie, you get the same bonus.
Cool. Robbie has been kind of just like wandering the perimeter. They've untucked their shirt from where it's usually tucked into their pants, and both of their hands are clenched so tight in the front part of their shirt so they don't reach out and touch everything that's around them.
Make your anxiety roll. No, just kidding.
I do that every day.
Yeah, I know. Everyone does.
I usually fail it.
I got a 6 under my 20.
Excellent.
One roll was a 69 and the other roll was a 9.
Nice.
So you did well in both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you it wasn't that kind of visit.
I don't even know what that means, honestly. I've never really experienced it. So it's news to me either way.
You both are looking through these books. It's relatively late at this point. The first book you get to is the New Testament and Revelations, where they talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, there is a lot of debate in the Catholic Church. It is more about the Roman Empire and about its fall, not so much the end of the world. There's obviously a lot of metaphor as you're looking through all this. There's a lot of different angels and things going on. The main thing, though, is it basically says that at some point, God releases the four horsemen upon the world to bring disease, famine, war, and death. It's not necessarily a full court press. So that's the very first place you go to. And it doesn't give a lot of information about individuals. But then in other books, there's two theories: that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are angels that have a specific function within the celestial body, or they are psychopomps, which is basically they are elements of the universe. The very first one was death. The second, something became living, death appeared to deal with the passing of people dying. They're basically forces, not so much angels, but forces of nature that have so much power they can take on human-like forms sometimes. So those are the gist that you're getting from the occult books. I want to kind of give you guys a little room to talk about a little bit of this. I'm going to just kind of shut up now and let Robbie and Cass talk for a little bit and kind of go through your thoughts on what I just said. And if you have questions, let me know.
Ooh, that is both helpful and not helpful, isn't it?
Yeah. The book that said that the horsemen of death came in response to things being living makes it just seem like they're just balancing forces, right? Like balancing forces aren't necessarily good or evil. They are just keeping equilibrium, right? So maybe they're not quote unquote evil. Maybe they're just an equilibrium force. But then I suppose if an equilibrium tries to force itself in one direction, then it becomes not an equilibrium, which becomes good or bad.
That's, I suppose, but I just, do we have to worry about the other horsemen? And if I can't say that LA is a particularly peaceful place right now where it would be balanced out by the amount of war devastation that we've been seeing in our dreams.
No, I don't think this would be the greatest place for a violent kind of time.
I really don't know what we do with this.
I don't either, and that's bothering me.
How about a drink? I could use a drink.
That sounds very nice. Yes, please.
What's your poison?
anything but rum. Rum makes me sad, and I don't want to be sad because this is already weird.
Whiskey it is. And Lenore's going to go over and pour a couple of whiskeys and bring them back.
I know that Lenore has a lot of experience with drinking, you know, has a tolerance, let's say. Robbie, do you feel you have a tolerance?
No, it's pretty low. The amount that they drink is nearly negligible. They know enough to know that rum makes them sad. That's about it.
All right, because whiskey is sort of a hard liquor.
Sort of.
Just a little.
I'm just.
Did you say rum makes you sad or wine makes you sad?
Rum. Rum makes Robbie sad.
Rum is like my spinach if I was Popeye.
Oh, no, I'm Puerto Rican. I should like rum. I'm Puerto Rican. Rum should be good for me.
Caribbean. And they put it in our bottles to get us to go to sleep.
We are one, and yet.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I think Robbie takes the first sip.
Yeah, it burns all the way down.
Ooh, are you okay?
This is very good.
You don't have to drink it if you don't want it.
No, I like it. It's very warm. Why is there fire?
That's whiskey, my dear.
I had that once before. It's been a really long time. Can I please have some water?
Yeah, of course. And Lenora will get them some water.
Robbie is taking a second sip as you come back. Oh, I thought it would be better. I'm gonna like this. I'm going to like this.
Yeah, you.
I want to like this very much.
Why do you feel you need to force yourself into enjoying this?
I'm not enjoying anything else I'm feeling right now, so I'm thinking that a different feeling might be better. I don't know if that's the case. It's more, I'm trying to mask emotional feelings with physical feelings, and I don't think that's healthy or good, but I want to keep trying.
No, but it is very self-aware, and I applaud you for that much.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm going to jump over to Candace and Michelle. Your chauffeur, Belle, drives you home, and you get to the house. And as you're coming out of the car, waiting for you there is Richie, your old agent. And he waits for you to get out of the car, and he goes, "So I've been told by the New Day cosmetic people that I'm no longer your agent after 30 years. Oh, and now you're hanging out with Belle Bellington, making all the good decisions, I see."
"Listen, desperate times."
"I say, lovely to see you too, Richie."
"Look, the New Day cosmetic people are dangerous. I spent 30 years keeping you away from them."
"Excuse me?"
"They're a cult."
"Keeping me away from them?"
"Yes, keeping you safe."
"Are you why I haven't received an invitation?"
"Absolutely."
"All this time I thought I was so left out. I thought perhaps I wasn't important enough or not fancy enough to be invited."
"Of course you're important enough. They've always been trying to get their hooks into you."
"Well, I mean, the hooks are pulling back my skin, so I don't know. I feel like maybe it's a good idea. Do you see me? Do you see how lovely and fresh I am, like a lily?"
"Everything has its price, Evie. Everything."
"And what is the price here? Your respect?"
"No."
"I can think of worse things, Richie."
"Look, I care about you. I've taken care of you for a long time. Do you know who else is in this club? Patty Wells."
"Patty Wells was in the club."
"You're right. She was in the club."
"You seem very serious."
He shoves a newspaper in your arms and he goes, "Patty Wells was in the club." And then he walks away and gets in his car and drives off.
"Belle, what is the meaning of this? Someone comes and tells you off and leaves you with reading materials?"
"That's a new one on me."
"What is this all about?" Since she opens a newspaper.
Now, would Belle have heard, before she opens it, would Belle have heard of New Day Cosmetics?
Give me a knowledge roll. They are very secretive, so maybe not.
I got a 9.
Wow. Yeah, you've heard rumors.
Okay.
You've heard rumors about them, that they kind of have their hooks into a lot of people, that it's this, you know, they have centers where famous people go and get, you know, help and whatever for their career. And it doesn't really have much of an allegory with what's going on in our world. So it's hard. There's no group out there that does that in LA. So
no, no.
Anyway, so you open up the newspaper and on the front it says, "Patty Wells found dead in apartment."
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. She was, quite frankly, a bitch. I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but the problems I've had with this woman for the last something-something years have been abominable. What does it say happened to her? Natural causes?
It seems that she was attacked in her apartment. There's still ongoing investigation. There are no pictures, but it was particularly violent.
Well, I don't know if that has something to do with me and the products that I'm using. The people I spoke to at the clinic seemed lovely, very nice, and like the apartments inside, the rooms, the servants, the palatial estate. I feel like, wouldn't they strive for something, I don't know, more important than visceral murder?
Well, I'll tell you, Evie, just in my experience, don't put murder past anyone.
It's true.
If people want to hang on to something badly enough or keep something quiet badly enough, they're willing to kill for it.
Well, they did say that the formula was proprietary, and she did give me just one bottle. I'm going to think on it. Back to your problem, Belle. How can I help you today? What are we doing? Where are we going?
Well, I think I just need to kind of collect myself. I think I need something to focus on while I'm waiting to hear back. If I can use your phone, I have some connections. I could find out more about Patty Wells and what actually happened that they're not printing.
Oh, so a girl's day. Yes, all right. Let's go inside. I'll have my people make us both a drink. I think that might clear up a little bit of the scaries we're suffering right now.
I think that's definitely in order.
So you go inside and your butler gets you all drinks and then says, you know, if there's nothing else, I'll see myself out for the evening because it's pretty late at this point.
Have you made sure Buttercup's had her dinner?
Yes, of course. We took her for a walk, too.
And maybe leave some snacks just in case we're peckish.
Absolutely. So get you a little plate of snacks, you know, and then says goodbye.
Is Tony's guy still with me?
He's parked out front.
Okay.
Just watching the place.
I just give Tony a ring real quick just to let him know where I am and what the number is in case he needs to get in contact with me.
All right. So when you call up Tony, there's nobody answering.
Well, it's not necessarily unusual.
Right.
Does he have an answering service?
No. Make an idea roll for me, Michelle.
49 under my 80.
Jeez, bunch of smart people. One thing that does cross your mind, if you want to, is you have connections, obviously, in the news. You might be able to get more information on Patty Wells if you wanted to, but that's your call.
Yeah, because I think that if I have heard of New Day and I've heard the rumors, I'm going to want to dig in a little more because that's my nature, right?
All right. So you call the newsroom?
Yeah. I also want to find out if Johnny's checked in yet.
All right. So you get one of the many people who work down there. They're like,
hey, Belle, what can I do you for?
Hey, just a couple of things. One, I wanted to see, has Johnny checked in yet?
Nope, hasn't been in for a while. Of course, it's the middle of the night, so.
True. Yeah, he might be having a good evening somewhere. I had a question about Patty Wells.
Oh, that story just broke.
Yeah, I know. What's not being printed?
Well, it's weird. They think it's some kind of animal attack.
In an apartment?
Yeah, it's like there was some kind of mountain lion in her apartment or something. She was ripped up bad. Her throat was torn out.
My God.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it couldn't have been a mountain lion, really.
I don't think it is either, but whoever did it was a sick fuck, I'll tell you that much.
Did it look jagged like an animal, or did it look like it could have been a knife?
I mean, from the pictures I'm seeing, which, of course, we're not allowed to print.
Of course.
It looks pretty, I'll say the word, feral? Like someone was really angry. If it wasn't a mountain lion, it was definitely a person who was unhinged.
Any chance I could get a peek in the apartment?
Well, I mean, the chance is there, of course, but, you know, be taking a risk. I don't think there's anybody over there now. They've already gone through crime scene, but I wouldn't go alone. Would Johnny go with you?
Well, of course I'm not going to go alone. He would if I could find him, but...
I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, you know, I worry about that kid.
He's probably shacked up somewhere with some girl. He's all right.
I hope so. But, yeah, I think I got someone I can get to go with me, but I'll be careful.
Yeah, it's not good, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of having flashbacks to that first time I opened that hotel room door.
Yeah, he goes,
you want the address?
Yeah, thanks. And I write it down.
So he gives you the address and you hang up.
Okay, and I go back to Evie and I'm like, are you okay if I tell you some gruesome details?
Belle, don't be ridiculous. Obviously, I live for that kind of thing.
They said it looked like an animal attack. Like her throat was torn out, like by a mountain lion or something.
I think Ebony immediately stares at Buttercup and then kind of shakes it off. A mountain lion. Mountain lion, yes. What is a mountain lion doing in a Californian home? She leave her door open?
But I mean, it's in the city. Like, I don't understand, so...
And why her specifically? I feel like that's a little obtuse.
I would love to go investigate. They said that they've already looked at the crime scene and probably not a lot of eyes on the place.
Oh my goodness, Belle.
You up for an adventure?
I have to say part of me is worried that you would have done this with just as much glee had it been me attacked by said mountain lion. But at the same time, I do want to know what's going on in there and see what that girl got up to. Yes, all right, let's go.
All right, let's do it.
As you are getting ready to head out, Belle, you notice that there's a very pretty envelope sitting on the dining room table.
Oh, Evie, did you want to look at that? And I point to the envelope.
Probably fan mail. I'll take a look. Give us a little boost before we go out.
Evie has changed into, like, World War II style coveralls from a motion picture she did a few years ago. And she has, like, her hair up in, like, a little scarf. Not really quite like Rosie the Riveter style, because it's, like, it's a relatively nice scarf. But just trying to, like, get it up off. And she's, like, trying to shove some things at Belle. She opens the envelope.
Almost like a Katharine Hepburn kind of look.
Yeah.
Okay.
50s lesbian core, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. So you open this up, and it is the invitation to the masquerade ball that is coming up for New Day Cosmetics. It has two tickets in it, and it says, come dressed as your favorite character. You know, it's a masquerade ball, so obviously you want to wear some kind of mask, yada, yada. And it has this symbol on the bottom of it. It looks vaguely Egyptian to you, but it also looks like a little strangely Celtic as well. Like they've mixed two symbols together for some reason.
Unusual, but interesting. Two tickets. Who in the world could I take to this? Well, let's go. It's fine.
All right. So you head out. Now we're going to jump over to Amani. All right, Amani, you are in your bathroom. The tub is full of ice. It's been melting, so there's a lot of water in there as well. And Johnny is in the tub. He's not moving at all. He looks dead. His hand is missing, and you are by yourself.
This is not good at all. I think she just freaks out for a bit, genuinely.
Okay. Also, let's do a resolve check, because we actually didn't do that at the end of the last episode. So I think we definitely need to do that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's very on point. That's a 97.
Excellent. All right.
So, yeah, I lose my fucking mind.
You take 7 points of resolve. Roll against your intelligence.
The hell? Let me see. My intelligence is... Oh, yep. Rolled over that too. 84.
Okay, that's actually a good thing.
Okay.
It basically means that you're not grasping the entire significance of everything, and sometimes that's worse, because if you realize everything going on, it's more of a hit to your...
I start tripping even harder. Got it.
You start tripping even harder. All right. It's up to you how you want to respond to this, but you are going to freak out.
I think Amani does, after freaking out for a bit, like, I think steps out of herself, essentially, and she just calms down, leaves out of the room, and closes the door.
All right. So several things flood into your brain all at once as you're going through all of this. If you call the cops, they're going to be all over you and all over Rose, and it's not going to be good. And then Tony's looking for Johnny right now as well. So you're in kind of a position of getting rid of the body, calling the cops and just hoping it all works out, or leaving him in the tub and just going, walking away and hoping he stays fresh for a while.
Hoping he stays fresh? Jesus fucking Christ, Wes. This is actually very fun for me, because I genuinely don't know what to do right now, because this is a fucked situation. Anything that she's touched, she's going to go back and wipe her fingerprints.
All right, cool. So you start wiping up fingerprints and all of that and taking your time to kind of go over everything. Can you give me a luck roll?
Yeah, sure, Wes. Why not? You've barely had me roll at all of this. And then just in a few short minutes, I'm rolled more than I have this whole fucking campaign. Sure. Okay. Luck is 55 and I rolled a 12.
Okay, cool. As you're cleaning up, you notice that the hand that hasn't been detached twitches.
Oh, fuck. Once again, finish wiping my, like, I take the napkin, like, whatever I was using to, like, wipe it up and wrap my hand in it and poke. I'm like, the fuck? Start poking it.
He turns his head towards you.
Oh, no. That's actually Imani's reaction. Is, oh, heavens, no.
Help me.
Nope. And just leaves. Goes to call the cops. I've cleaned up the spot at this point. I didn't want to, but calling the cops. My fingerprints aren't in there. Yes, it is my apartment, but they're going to be looking at Rose, not me. Maybe I could get the fuck out and they can lock her ass up.
All right.
She's scary.
Yeah, definitely.
She needs to be with people who can help.
So you dial the cops, and within minutes, because they weren't far away, they're never far away from your apartment at this point, they show up with an ambulance. I'm going to give you one more luck roll to see if he makes it.
Okay. Nope. 76.
So by the time they get there, he passes. And the cop's like, tell me what happened.
So I was at work, and I think Imani just literally goes through her day. Like, she doesn't have anything to hide. She's been at work all day. She has an alibi. She came home and there was a fucking body in her bathroom. So, yeah, she just runs down the entirety of her day up until finding the body and calling them.
Okay. And you don't know where your roommate Rose is right now?
At this moment, no.
And you think that she did this?
I didn't say that. I don't know who did what. All I know is that there is a body in my bathroom right now, and I don't know how it got there.
So you, a woman named Trish, and this Rose live in this apartment. You had a long day at work, came home. Do you tell them that you actually spoke with Rose when you got home?
No.
Okay. You come home, nobody's home. You walk into your bathroom, and there's a body laying in a bunch of ice in your tub. That's what you're telling me?
Yes, officer.
And you don't know who would have put it there. You don't know where Rose is, and you don't know where this Trish is.
I haven't seen Trish in some time. Last I knew, Rose was at work somewhere, but what she told me.
What do you mean you haven't seen Trish in some time?
Trish, typically, I figure she's off with a fling or something somewhere, but it's not too uncommon for her to be gone for a day or two and come back. But she hasn't come back yet.
Ah, do you have a place you can go stay? This is going to be a crime scene for a little bit.
I think I have a little extra saved up for a hotel for the time being, for a temporary stay. Maybe I can ask some place around my job, see if they have a place. I can stay with them or something. I don't know.
Well, make sure that you leave yourself available. We're going to have some more questions for you as the investigation goes on, of course.
Okay.
All right, so they take down your information, everything that you say.
God damn it, Rose. Making me have to involve the police. Ugh.
Where do you want to go?
I think I just go to a motel for the night.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, I don't really know anybody else in the city that I would feel, like, comfortable enough to be like, oh, hey, my house is a murder scene. Can I sleep on your couch?
That makes sense. You go to the motel, and we're going to switch back over to Robbie and Cass. Robbie, make me a constitution roll.
Absolutely. What is my con?
Please don't throw up on the carpets.
I will do my very best. Well, 73 over my 60.
Okay.
Might throw up on your carpet.
No.
I will do my best not to.
Robbie is drunk way faster than you think they should be. Just not really there. It starts to rain outside. You actually hear a little bit of thunder start happening. The lights flicker a little bit. And she is slurring their words pretty badly at this point.
Lenore, I haven't heard thunder in so long.
Are you okay? Mm-hmm. You should probably stay here tonight.
No, it's okay. I can walk. I want to...
No.
I like rain. No. Rain's good. We don't get rain very much in Texas.
Yes, and it's nice when it's outside and not soaking you through. Absolutely
but
not.
I'll be inside. But I'll get inside, I walk outside, then I'll get inside. That's how walking works.
The guest room is made up, and that is where you are going to stay.
Easter's gonna think I'm dead.
I'm sure Easter will be fine.
I haven't fed him. Oh, no.
Cats are resourceful. They'll be fine.
What if the hot cat lady comes back and I'm not there to see her, and then she thinks I don't want to talk to her, but I really want to talk to her because she had a lot of interesting things to say.
Is there a spare room there?
I think so. I've seen a lot of rooms. Yes, there's a room.
If I can't talk you into staying here, then I will drive you back there, and I will stay there.
You don't have to do that. I can walk. I have legs.
Look at my braces.
They're so strong. They keep my legs up. That's what they're for.
I'll get the car keys.
Wait. Miss Von Mori, you've been so nice.
Please call me Cass.
Cass? That's not a short name of Lenore.
Lenore is a stage name, dear.
Holy shit. You've got so many names. That's awesome. Wait, no, I have to tell you something. Okay. Why did the fire make my brain squishy? Okay. Okay. I was thinking about the horsemen. And how that's like a Christian thing. And Bastet isn't that. Bastet is like ancient Egyptian. And I just think that's interesting. I don't have any much further to go for that. Damn it.
Put on your
conflux.
Shoes. And Lenore's going to start sort of like babying Robbie a little bit, like helping put on shoes and getting the jacket on. And like, while this is going, trying desperately to get them ready and like leading them towards the door to get to the car.
But what do I do? What do we do with that information? The man in the red hat, he's a horse and a man. And
no, that's not how horsemen work.
Well, I mean, he's not a centaur, but, you know, it's the same energy, except for evil. I want to have thoughts about this, and I feel them, but they're really squishy and, like, they're melted. Something melted my thoughts.
Oh, you're going to have a bad day tomorrow.
Right then, there's this huge crack of lightning, and all the lights go out in your house.
Damn it, if it's one thing, it's another. I'm going to go check the circuit breaker, okay?
Wait, don't leave me.
Well, then come with me to check the circuit breaker then. The house has been here a while. This happens during storms. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robbie just kind of clenches an arm or a hand around Cass's wrist and like baby duck follows. It will be embarrassing tomorrow, but right now Robbie is clinging to the one semi-familiar thing and that is Cass.
I'm not asking for this for any particular reason. What does Lenore usually have on, perfume, or how does Lenore usually smell?
Usually is wearing a perfume, wearing something nice, like
something floral.
Maybe like an Oscar de la Renta.
What does that smell like?
Very much, I want to say it's magnolia forward on an Oscar de la Renta.
Nice.
You're walking through, and the duck that's walking behind you is smelling this nice smell, and it's dark, and suddenly there's this really loud knock on your front door as you're getting to the circuit breaker.
I'm going to just holler towards the door. Just a minute.
I'm having a lot of feelings right now, and one of them is nice, and one of them is bad. Actually, a lot of them are really bad, but one of them is really nice, and I don't know how to deal with that. I'm really sorry.
Let's get the lights back on. Find out who's at the door.
Yeah.
And then we can address all the feelings, okay?
You're very nice. You smell really good. I'm trying so hard to be normal. I'm so sorry.
Trust me, normal doesn't exist, darling.
Oh, great. Okay, that's very comforting, actually. That actually makes me feel even more in the good way and then the bad, instead of the bad way. So thank you.
You get to the circuit breaker and all the circuits seem to be normal. None of them have flipped off.
Now, I do have a background in electrical repair. Is there anything else that I can do to work with the switches?
Sure. Give me a roll.
Okay. Yeah, because...
Can I assist in any way?
Just don't barf on me.
Cool.
That'll be help enough. I got a 34 under my 60.
Okay, so make a mark. So you pull out a little flashlight. You have a small screwdriver and you're taking a look at stuff and you're kind of looking around and it should be working. It makes no sense at all. And then suddenly four more knocks on the front. You can hear them reverberate throughout the house.
Could it be like those things that are on the power lines, the little boxes? Did the box on the power line go away?
No. Something, I don't know what this is, and I should know what it is, and that upsets me. Henri wouldn't knock. Who would be here at this hour?
Would it be someone from the studio coming to check on you?
Why, though?
Rain, thunder.
The studio doesn't care if there's rain and thunder, so long as you do what you're supposed to do. Why don't you stay here?
I don't want to be alone, please. I'll be really quiet. I won't say anything.
Okay. And I'm going to go back upstairs and, like, look out the little peephole thing. Or actually, I feel like she would have one of those little mini door hinge things that's, you know...
Right, with the little bars.
Like, yeah, exactly, to look out at whoever has shown up.
When you look out, there's a very tall, very pale-looking man in rags, and his face is gaunt, and his eyes are tinged yellow, and he says, "Are you Cass?"
"No, I'm not. I believe you have the wrong house."
"Oh, I do, do I? So you're not in there with Robbie right now?"
"I'm sorry, who are you?"
"I'm Death. And that's where we're going to stop this episode."
"No!
Why, Rob?"
Wes,
I need to know.
You are terrible.
Rude.
Terrible. I give Michelle full license and support from me in annihilating you on the regular basis.
The beatings will continue until the hard stops end.
Yucky, yucky, yucky.
All right. So thank you all so much. That was a lot of fun. And yeah.
I almost opened the little door and just said, "No solicitors." "We're here to talk to you about your car's extended warranty."
I gave it the office.
Or my personal favorite. "Have you heard of our Lord and Savior, Jehovah?"
"Come back with a warrant."
"I have a wake and watchtower right here. Take your pick."
All right. Well, where can we find all you wonderful people? Let's start with Lev this time.
Oh, boy. Hey, gang. I have been and will probably continue to be Lev. You can find me on Twitter at LegoM2RS, or on Instagram or Blue Sky at Lev.RS23. If you want to hear me say more words, I'm usually over at Mayday Roleplay, where we play a bunch of different kinds of games. We've just started kicking off our Delta Green game, Dune to Repeat. And I'm a voice actor, so various podcasts or games you play or listen to, I will probably, maybe, not probably, that's a, probably is not a word, maybe, I will maybe be there. Who's to say? Anyway, that's me. Thanks.
Someone just told me I was going to be the next one. Hi, everyone. I'm Sam. Sam Star, Lust for Life on the interwebs, everywhere. Yeah, I'm just here telling stories with my friends, rolling dice, sometimes not so good, sometimes real good. You can just find me on Transplanar, or like go back and see stuff from Strix U. I just be telling stories and shit.
Hello, everybody. I am Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at the Candace Marie, C-A-N-D-A-C-E. You can find me at Candace Magnificent everywhere else. Check me out on socials for where I'm going to be and when. But you can find me regularly over at Matihi's channel every other Saturday on What We Do in the Shallows, a queer pirate 5e campaign. And you can also hear me on Bloom and Blight, as well as other 12-Sided Stories podcasts.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais, despite the fact Love took some of my shtick today.
I forgot that you say that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
I'm totally teasing you.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's like, all good.
This feels familiar. Why am I saying it this way? I'm an asshole. I'm so sorry.
I was like, what's happening?
Mac,
I don't know
what you have.
Look, I don't know who I am anymore.
Look how powerful you are, though. That's
I like
important.
That you. I like you went with powerful, and I was like, no, my powers are depleted. Hi, I'm Mac, and the glass is half empty. You can find me everywhere online is at Strange Like That. Instagram, Facebook, whatever Twitter is these days, Blue Sky, et cetera, ad nauseum.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's brilliant, amazing, lovely sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on most of the socials at this point. You can find our show at our website, 12sidedstories.com, all spelled out. We're also on all of the different socials, but it's the number 12 and then Sided Stories. You'll find us on most places. If you want to support the channel, go over to Patreon and become a Patreon backer, or give us a shout out on your favorite social media, or give us a review somewhere. Those always help a lot, and we really appreciate them. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next time with more Otherworld Hollywood. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.